And we're holding on Nunhe Umud Bey is the first line of the wide lines. So five lines from the bottom. Moses Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Umr of Yeshua. There are four things in terms of Nezakin that if a person does them, he's potter b'dinei Adam. They can't collect anything from him in Beistin. B'chaye b'dinei Shemayim, but he's liable. And dinei Shemayim mean that Hashem knows the truth, what he actually did and what he did wrong, and therefore, if he wants to be Yotze, if he wants to avoid punishment from Hashem, then he's going to have to do something about it. The Elohein, and they are as follows. The first one is when a person breaks down a fence in front of somebody else's animal, which is relevant to our Mishnah because we had the case where the wall broke and the animal went out and damaged. We'll see soon the details of that. But the second one, a person bends down somebody else's standing grain, somebody else's field full of grain. He goes and bends down the grain when a fire is approaching. And again, we'll see in the Gemara in a minute what that means. The third one is when a person hires false witnesses. And the fourth one, when he knows Edus on behalf of somebody else and he doesn't testify in basting. So all of those things, Rashi explains, basically they're all grumma, and we're following the opinion over here that grumma benizikin is potter, that you're potter from something where you're indirectly causing a damage. As we're going to go on to explain, that each one of these things is only an indirect cause. So let's go through them. Omamar, a poter together b'fnei behemas chaveroi. The first one was where he breaks down a wall in front of somebody else's animal. So heichidami, the question is, what's the scenario? Ilema b'koisel bori, are we talking about that it's a strong wall? B'dine adam nami nechayev. Shouldn't he be chayev b'dine adam as well? If nothing else, because he broke down the wall. Now, Rashi mentions the point, you can't be mechayev him for the animal. After all, we said in the Mishnah, pratsua listim, we said if robbers broke open the wall and it went out and damaged, then potter, the owner is potter, and it didn't say that the listim are chayev, it only said hotziua listim, if the robbers took it out, then they're chayev for the nezakin because they did meshicha on it. So therefore, on the face of it, if we're talking about over here that Reuven's animal was inside a pen and Shimon went and broke down the wall, if it was a strong, normal wall, shouldn't Shimon be chayev for breaking down the wall? Tosfos similarly discusses that with the animal going out as a result of breaking down the wall, that would be only grumma. So if it was a strong wall, he would be chayev b'dinei adam for breaking down the wall. The animal, either way, he'd be potter whether it was a strong wall or a weak wall. And Tosfos goes on to discuss, why don't we say that we're talking about potter or chayev relative to the animal, and Tosfos discusses that point. There are actually other opinions of the Rishonim. There are the Hagoros HaGra brings them over here briefly that the Rishon, the Ramah, brings an explanation, and Shit Mukubetzis brings the same thing from the Ra'ah that says that actually no, the Gemara is referring over here to the loss of the animal itself. The Shimon broke open the wall. Now the animal went and escaped, and Reuven can't find it. So therefore, so on the face of it, if it was a strong wall and the animal wouldn't have gotten out, otherwise shouldn't Shimon be chayev for the loss of the animal itself? And then we discussed yesterday the Rambam's shita, which is that if he breaks down a wall, we're talking about over here him being chayev for the nezakin of the animal, because the animal wouldn't have gotten out without him. And the Rambam gives an explanation. He mentions the halacha in Yad HaChazaka. He has a tshuva on it to Chachmei Lunel, where they asked him about this. And the Rambam says, everybody before me explained that we're talking about the chiyuv or the patur for the wall, but I can't say that. The Rambam says for a number of reasons, one of them being that the context we're talking about over here is as far as an animal going out and causing damage. And so the Rambam goes and draws a distinction, like we talked about yesterday, between robbers, where their intention is to steal the animal. So if in the end they didn't carry out their intention and they left the animal there, then they can't be chayiv if afterwards it goes out and damages, as opposed to the case we're talking about over here, is that Shimon broke down the wall with the intention that the animal should go out and cause damage, and therefore you can be chayiv him for the animal's damage. But again, the Gemara is going to ask. So the Gemara's question then is, if it was a strong wall, then forget about Dine Shemayim. He should be chayiv in Dine Adam, because the animal wouldn't have gotten out otherwise. Ella, because of Ra'uah, so evidently Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's din has to be talking about where the wall was weak. So the wall was weak. It was going to be torn down anyhow. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, therefore, you can't be mechayiv him b'dine Adam for breaking down the wall. And the animal, either way, he'd be potter on whatever happens to the animal, whether the animal itself getting lost or whether it's nizakin, because Rashi and Tosfos are saying that it's grama. According to the Ra'ah and the Ramah, the vote would be that if the wall is weak, then it's likely it would have fallen down anyhow. Therefore, you can't be mechayiv in medine adam for the animal getting lost. And according to the Rambam, you can't be mechayiv him for the damages that the animal goes out and does, because the wall was weak and it wasn't going to stand beruach mitzuyani. Okay, so that's the first one of Rabbi Shimon Levi's four cases. The second one, Amamar hakoyfef kamosish or chaveda b'fnei ableika. We said when somebody bends down somebody else's standing grain in the face of a fire. So heichidami again. What exactly? What's the case we're talking about? Ilema dematyale beruach mitzuya. Do we mean that because of that, do we mean that now the fire is able to reach the grain with a normal wind? So in other words, there was a fire raging nearby. He bent down the wheat in the direction of the fire. And now even a normal wind is enough now to make the fire be able to catch on to the grain. Well, then b'dine adam nami nichayim. Then he should be chayev also b'dine adam. Because again, in effect, he put the thing in the fire. So why is he only chayev b'dinei shemayim? El d'matya beruach she'ena metzuya. Rather, we have to be talking about, Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about, it wouldn't have reached it with a normal wind, but because there's an extra strong wind whips up and goes in and gets it, where if he hadn't bent down that grain, the couple of feet difference, the stalk of grain is a few feet tall, that couple of feet makes the difference and makes it that now the fire catches on. So he could say, well, I didn't realize that was going to happen. And therefore, we're saying Hashem knows the truth. Therefore, he's chayav b'dinei shemayim, but b'dinei adam, you can't penalize him, because he could say that given that it was a ruach sheina metzuya that came up all of a sudden, I didn't know that was going to happen. Rav Ashi on matomu nitmar. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. When we talk about over here him bending down the grain, what we mean is that he made the grain tomum. Now, we've talked about before in the Masechta, and we're going to talk about in more detail later in our peret, that when it comes to fire, the Chachamim hold, we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but according to the Chachamim, and that's the halacha, a person is potter with nezakim of fire for tomun, for things that are hidden in a way that they wouldn't normally be hidden. So we're going to give examples over there. You have, for example, a stack of grain inside which there are farm tools or other things hidden. Or you have other examples like that, where he's potter for those because of the chum learned from a pasuk. So now what happens is there's a fire going on. Reuven has a field near where the fire is going. Shimon takes a blanket, let's say, and spreads it over to cover the grain. The result is, obviously, the blanket doesn't help the fire, doesn't prevent the fire from reaching it. But what happens is, now when the fire burns the field, the grain is covered by the blanket, and therefore it's tomun, and therefore whoever it is that set the fire, who otherwise would have been chayev to pay for that grain that was burnt, instead is going to be potter on the grounds of tomun. So we can't be mechayiv in medine adam, because we can't be mechayiv in medine adam because it's only a grama, but we can be mechayiv in medine shemayim because he caused the other person a loss. A little further down on the Amud, Rashi implies that if it was the person himself who set the fire and also put the blanket, then in fact he would be chayev, because then he caused both. He caused the hezek and he caused the and he caused the damage. So with that said, there are achronim who learn what Rashi is saying differently, and say that maybe even actually and actually right over here, the Rashi over here, Tomun. So Rashi makes the point. He himself didn't light the fire, but nevertheless he made it tumble. And so the implication is that if he himself had set the fire and now he went and covered the other guy's grain, then he would in fact be chayev. But there are achronim that discuss and say that maybe Rashi means that either way he's chayev. And the point is that even the Rashi's chiddush would be, even though he didn't set the fire, still just by virtue of covering it with the blanket, he becomes chayav b'din shamayim. Okay. So the point is, Rav Ashi is saying tamun itmar. He made it tamun mishum de shavya tamun ba'esh. He now made the field tamun when it comes to fire. And as we're going to learn later on in the parak, the result is that the one who set the fire is going to be potter from paying for that grain. Okay. Next, Omamar, the third one in Rabbi Shor ben Levi's list was Hasoicha Ede Sheker. We said where he hires false witnesses. So we said he's Potter B'dinah Adam Mechayev B'dinah Shemayim. Well, the question is, Heichidami, what's the scenario? Ilemela Nafshe, does he mean for himself? So Reuven goes and hires false Edim to testify that Shimon owes him money, and the result of that is Shimon ends up paying him the money. What do you mean he's only chayav b'dinah shemayim? Mamona boi shalomi. He should have to pay money. It's not just dine odom. He's chayav b'dinah shemayim. He's chayav b'dinah odom because now he has money that unjustly belongs to him. Now, Tosfos points out, practically speaking, we may never find out that they were Ede Sheker. But nevertheless, that we can't call that potim b'dinah odom. Potim and Dina Adam would imply that even if we found out that these are Ede Sheker, we wouldn't make them repay the money. Well, why not? If we find out later on that they were Ede Sheker, sure, we're going to make them repay. So Dina Adam namini chayim. So then he should be chayim and Dina Adam as well. Rather, we're talking about that he hired the false witnesses for somebody else. So Reuven went and hired false witnesses to testify that Shimon owes Levi money. So Levi is the one who's gaining from it. Reuven is not. Why Reuven would do that is another question, but maybe he wants to get back at Shimon. Whatever the case, the point is, therefore, so now we can't be mechayev him because he didn't gain from it. Now, so Tosfos says, okay, so just have the friend pay back and just have Levi pay back in this scenario, and that's that. So Tosfos says that, okay, you could be talking about, for example, that Levi afterward doesn't have what to pay back, or he went off to Medina Siyam, or we never find out that they were Ede Sheker. So in all those cases, we're going to say that there's nothing to be paid from Levi because he's not available or doesn't have the money or whatever, and Reuven is going to be Potter, is going to be Potter Medina Adam B'chai Medina Shemai. Now the Gemara is going to explain soon why it is in each of these cases he's chayav b'dinah shemayim. Each one of them, you would think he has an excuse to say that maybe even he's potter from that as well, but we'll see. Now Tosfos says the point that the reason why we're saying over here that he hires these false edim is because in fact if he didn't hire them, if he just told them verbally, if he just convinced them verbally to testify on behalf of Levi, then he would be potter even b'dinah shemayim, says Tosfos, because then he'd say I had no reason to think they're going to listen to me. It's one thing money, people will do a lot of things for money, but not just with verbal persuasion. So there is a good deal of discussion about that. There are actually Rishonim who disagree with that and say that no, even when he and say that even if he just told them verbally, he would be chayev. And the Shach discusses this in Shulchan Aruch and says, I don't understand. Either way, in Shliach the Dvar Aveira, and he's always Chayev B'dinah Shemayim. The Gemara is going to explain soon that this is an example of in Shliach the Dvar Aveira, yet he's Chayev B'dinah Shemayim. Why, according to Tosfos, would there be a difference whether he actually hired them or whether he just told them verbally? There is actually an explanation that there is actually another, the tzoyis, and that connection brings an explanation that when we say over here chayav din shamayim, there's a difference. The tzoyis says when we say that in general a person ain't shliach the dvar aveira, but mashalach is chayav din shamayim, that means that he's going to be punished by the beis din shamayla. Here we're not talking about punishment by the beis din shamayla. We mean that he has to pay midin shamayim. Hashem would require him to pay. Just a beis din on earth can't do that. So that would be the distinction. That would answer the shach's question. In fact, the Meiri brings an explanation over here, and he approves of this explanation, that what it actually means is that if he doesn't pay, the person who hired these edim, is actually going to be posel la'edus, because the fact is he caused a gzela. So fine, you can't be mechayev medine adam in the sense that you're going to say if you don't pay, we're going to take money away from you or whatever. But we do mean that until he does pay, we're going to say chayev medine shemayim in the sense that he'd be posel la'edus. Okay, so that's the third case of Rabbi Shimon Levi. And the fourth case is Vayadeh Edus Lachaveda Ve'inim Me'edloi. The fourth case is that he knows Edus on behalf of somebody else, and he doesn't say the Edus. So again, the question is B'maya Skinan. What exactly? What's the case we're talking about? It's interesting with all the other ones. They're going to use the expression Heifi Dami, and he uses B'maya Skinan. There is a nuance of difference between them, but I'm not sure. What it is. Anyway, Ilema Bebeit today, are we talking about where there were two people who knew Edus on his behalf, and they refused to go and say Edus? Pshita. Of course, they're Chayav B'Din HaShemayim. Daraisa hu. It's actually an Isur Daraisa to do that, because the Pasuk says, Im lo yagid v'nosa avonai. The Pasuk says, if he doesn't say, and Rashi explains, we're not talking about one aid, we're talking about two aidim, because one aid is not generally mechayev mamon. So the pasuk says that when a person knows edus on behalf of somebody else and doesn't testify, im lo yagid, the pasuk says if he doesn't tell it, v'nosa avona, then he's going to bear his guilt. So Rashi explains we are specifically talking about two edim over here, because if it was only one aid, then he wouldn't be mechayev mamon. Now Tosfos does point out, the fact is, the context of that pasuk is that we're talking about that Reuven goes over to Shimon and Levi. He says, "You know Edus on my behalf, so please come testify for me and Beis Din." They swear that they don't know anything, and then afterwards they want to do tshuva, and then the Torah is saying that they have to bring a korban. So in that case, who says we're talking about stam, where they don't want to come and testify without a shvura? And so Tosfos discusses the fact is, yes, they only bring a korban if they said such a false shvura, but nevertheless they're still doing an isur even if they refuse to come and testify when they would perfectly have been able to. The Maharam discusses actually that there are cases, the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss in Masechta Shavuos quite extensively. There are cases where he wouldn't actually be bringing a korban. So then in that case, then maybe we're not talking about over here that he would have done an Aveira. You have a difference. The Maharam discusses over here, you have a difference whether the Shavua took place, whether the Shavua took place in Beis Din or outside of Beis Din, and all kinds of other distinctions that the Gemara mentions over there in Masechta Shavuos. Anyway, the question is over here. If they don't give Edus, then they're already Chai B'Din HaShemayim based on what it says in the Pasuk. What's Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's Chiddush? So the answer is Ela B'chad. So no, we're talking about it's only one aid. So therefore, one aid we know would be mechayev the other guy's shvur. We know if Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din and says you owe me $100, and Reuven has two aidim for it, then Shimon will be liable to pay. If Reuven has only one aid for it, then we're going to make Shimon take a shvur min atorah that he doesn't owe the money, and if he doesn't swear, then he's going to have to pay. So now you're talking about where Reuven goes over to one aid and says, "Come testify for me in Beis Din," in order to make Shimon have to swear, and this aid refuses to do that. So uh, Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, the Gemara is going to point out soon that after all, we don't know what's going to happen if this guy does come to Beis Din. After all, Shimon could end up swearing falsely. So, but right now we're saying, nevertheless, this aid is going to be chayav din shemayim because he could have come and made things happen in Beis Din. Rashi, by the way, makes the point over here. Rashi mentions that in general, we know the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Sota that anytime the Torah says aid in the Pasuk, it means true unless otherwise specified. So when it says over here in the Pasuk, who aid oira or yoda, it actually refers to two aidim, and that was what was bothering the Gemara, is how could Rabbi Shimon Levi's case be talking about two aidim? Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, points out that actually there are cases where one aid results in a chiyuv mamon. For example, you have a case here. We're saying one aid causes a chiyuv shvua, but you can have a case, for example, where the one who's Shimon in our case is a choshed ala shvua. He's suspect of swearing falsely, and therefore we don't allow him to swear in Beis Din. And therefore, when there's one aid against him, automatically he has to pay. So sometimes you have a concept of people shvua. Sometimes you can flip around the shvua, and he can sometimes you have a concept where he can flip around the shavua and he can collect. So we don't always say that, but in any case, where we don't say that, the point is he would have to pay automatically by virtue of there being one aid against him. So Gilyan Ashas. So Rav Akiva Eger wonders why is it actually making the point over here that the word aid necessarily means two. Okay. Anyway. So those are the four things that Rabbi Shimon Levi mentions. But the Gemara says, with true leka, you're telling me there are no other cases of potim and din adam chayiv din shemayim. Va'ika, there are several. There are several others. And here the Gemara interjects with a simen with key words of the next few that it's going to bring. Ha'oise b'sam u'shliach chaveiroi nishbar. So it's a way of remembering the next five cases that the Gemara is going to bring. I've mentioned before there's a sefer called Lamnatseach LeDavid from the famous Chacham Reb David Pardo, who was a rav in Bosnia and various other places in the Turkish Empire a couple hundred years ago. He was a distinguished rav. Anyway, so he wrote a bunch of svarim. One of them called Lamnatseach LeDavid. At the end of it, he has remozim. Each time the Gemara brings a simen, he gives a remez what the deeper meaning of that simen. So here he says like this: we know the Torah tells us. We know the Gemara tells us that Torah can be a sam chayim, it can be an elixir of life, or the other way around, depending chas v'shalom, depending whether a person learns Torah with the right intentions or not. You can have lishma, well, not really shaloi lishma, because shaloi lishma would mean, for example, that he's learning, let's say, in order to become famous. It's not the best thing, but it's not so bad. But you can have a case where he's learning Torah lakanto in order to attack other people or whatever, where there it becomes a sam amavis for him. So he says, like this, when a person learns Torah with the right intention, he's a shliach of Hashem doing it. But when he learns it with the wrong intention, then he's a shliach of chaveira. In effect, he's only doing it so that he has an advantage over the other person or something. So therefore, the simon is hinting, ha'oise b'sam, when a person is working with the sam of Torah, or shliach chaveira, but he chooses to be a shliach of somebody else rather than of Hashem, nishbar, he ends up getting broken because the Torah becomes a sam amavis for him. Anyway, but the plain meaning, of course, is that it's a simen for the five examples the Gemara is going to bring. So we have five more examples. So the first one is ha'oisim malacha b'mei chatas or b'paras chatas. A person does malacha with water that was filled up for the paradroma. So Tosfos makes the point we're talking about before the ashes were put into the water. Once the ashes were put into the water, then malacha doesn't passel them. But until the ashes are put into the water, then doing any malacha with them passels them. So now if a person went and did malacha with that, or with paras chatas, or with the paradroma itself, where of course doing malacha with it passels it, because this is an example of hezek shein and nicker. Now we learned in Masechta Gittin, we had a whole sugya on that topic of whether hezek shein and nicker shmei hezek or not. The Gemara in fact asked from this braisa over here on the opinion that says that hezek shein and nicker shmei hezek. Well, then he should be chayiv b'dinei adam. So Rashi refers briefly over here. The Gemara explains over there that let's say he used the water in order to weigh something. So he put a container of the water on one side of the scale and something else on the other side. And the Gemara goes back and forth over there in Gittin to discuss exactly what the scenario is, because does that necessarily make the water possible in the first place? There's something that Rava says that implies that not. And the Gemara ends up saying there's a difference of whether he was Masiach Das or not. where the Hesach Hadas is what parcels the water. But that's definitely only a grumma. That even the opinion, even Chizkiyo, who says over there that Hezek Sheni Nikar Shmei Hezek, will have to agree that kind of thing is only a grumma, and therefore he's part of Bedina Shemayim. So that's another example of part of Bedina Shemayim. Vahika, here's another example. Hanosin samamavis b'fnei behemes kaveri, when a person puts poison in front of somebody else's animal, because you can say, I didn't know the animal was going to eat it. He didn't actually feed it to the animal at most. It's a grumma. So, whether he knows or not, whatever. The point is it's only a grumma. You know what animals eat. And in fact, Tosfos does point out over here, the fact is, when we learned this case a few blocks earlier, we did say that really there can be a distinction between samamavas that the animal would normally eat or not, but nevertheless, we're saying across the board, potim medina adam chayav b'dinei shamayim, that he's always chayav b'dinei shamayim, even if it's something that the animal wouldn't normally eat. So if he fed it to the animal, of course he's chayav, but otherwise it's only grumma. We've touched on before what the difference is when we say that Groma is Potter, and later in the Masechta we're going to learn that Garmi is Chayev. Among others, you have the Ramban explains that Groma is where there are other possibilities. It's not inevitable that because you did this, the other thing is going to happen, whereas Garmi is where it's more inevitable. Here, after all, it depends on the animal's volition. Is the animal going to eat it or not? Therefore, that would be a reason to Potter him because of Groma. Maybe not. Not necessarily. Is there anything that you put in front of an animal that it looks like food? It may eat it. It may not. After all, it depends on the animal's volition. So therefore, you can't be chayav b'dinei shamayim. You can't be chayav b'dinei olam. Next, here's another one. Here's another one, which we're going to discuss later in the parak. When a person sends a fire with a cheresh shor of a cotton, also potter b'dinei olam chayav b'dinei shamayim, because if he sends it with a pikeach, then it's the chayav's responsibility to watch it. A cheresh short of a cotton aren't capable of watching it, so you can't be mechayev. But nevertheless, we talked about briefly earlier in the Masechta, are we talking about where he gave them an open flame, or are we just talking about where he gave them a coal and then they blew on it? We'll discuss that later on in the parak when we get to the dinim of Eish. We'll take up that point. Anyway, va'ika. Then you have yet another example. Hamavis has chaveri, when someone scares somebody else. So, for example, Rashi gives an example. He comes all of a sudden, suddenly from behind the guy, and then yells in his ear or something. So you didn't actually touch him. So now, if because of that, let's say the guy gets startled and he falls, then that was only a grumma. You're not chayav b'dinei olam for that. And the fifth one, Vo'ika, we have a case which we learned earlier in the Masechta, Nishbara Kade b'Shosarabim v'loy Silka. If a person's jug, his earthenware jug, broke in Shosarabim, and he didn't take away the pieces. Now we said he should take away the pieces, but technically he's not obligated to because it was an onus that it fell in the first place. And once it was an onus, he could be mafguet and he would be able to get away with it. Or if his camel fell down and he didn't pick it back up, Rameir Machayev Behazekon. Rameir is Machayev Behazek of it because Rameir holds that. So we discussed that. Rashi refers to over here what we learned over there. First of all, is nitkal peshea, when a person trips, is that considered that he was careless in the first place because he should have looked where he's going? Well, if he was peshea, then he can't be mafkir his nezakim. Or do we say he's not a peshea and he would have the right to be mafkir them since it fell ba'onis? So we have five more examples where a person is potter medin anim chayav b'dinei shamayim. Why is Rabbi Shimon Levi listing only his four? With a Mishnah you could say that. Ton of a Shire. But an Amora like Rabbi Shimon Levi doesn't usually do that, especially because Rabbi Shimon Levi actually began Arba Dvarim Ha'osa Osam. There are four things implying four and no more than four. But now we see there are nine. So the answer is Ain. As a matter of fact, Mia Tuva Ika. Mia Ika Tuva. As a matter of fact, yeah, there are a lot of cases. There are those five. There may even be others. The reason why Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi listed those four is because there's a chiddush in each one of those four. Because in each one of them, Ma'od Tema, B'dinei Shemayim, Nami Lo V'Chayev, without Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi telling us, you would have thought that maybe in those four cases, he shouldn't even be Chayev B'dinei Odom. Kamash Malan, and therefore he has to tell us. And we're going to go through now and explain why that is. In other words, when it comes to the five we just listed of Mei Chatas and Poras Chatas and Sama Moves and Shashaleach HaSabeira, there's no chidush that he's chayiv b'dinei shamayim. But in the four cases that Rabbi Shor ben Levi mentioned, there is a chidush, the fact that he's chayiv b'dinei shamayim. And therefore, Rabbi Shor ben Levi had to stress that point. So let's go through them. When the first one, when he broke down a wall in front of somebody else's animal, so Maud Tema, and we established at the top of the Amud that we were talking about a weak wall. We weren't talking about a strong wall that would have lasted a long time. It was a weak wall. It was soon going to be torn down anyway. Maud Tema, so you could argue, given to the mystery koi ma ovid, since it's meant to be torn down soon, what's wrong? What did he do wrong by tearing it down? B'dinei shamayim, namadol l'chayev, so you shouldn't be mechayev him b'dinei shamayim either for the results of it. Again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, you shouldn't be mechayev him for breaking down the wall in the first place because it wasn't going to last long anyway. According to the Ra'ah and the Ramah, you shouldn't be mechayev him for the animal going and getting lost because the animal soon would have gotten out of such a weak wall anyway. And according to the Rambam, you shouldn't be chayev for the nezakin of the animal because for the nezak that the animal caused, because again, it would have been likely to get out anyway. The Rambam mentions, by the way, in that shuva of his to the Chachmei Bunel, he says that he starts by saying, everybody before me understood that the question is whether you chayev a potter for the wall. The Rambam says, what kind of an argument is that? What is the Gemara thinking that why should a person be potter for tearing down a weak wall? If he tears down a strong wall, he's chayev to pay for the value of a strong wall. And if he tears down a weak wall, he's chayev to pay for the value of a weak wall. And therefore, that's one argument that the Rambam brings to bear to say that we're talking about the nezakin of the animal.
Also, the balabas, the real balabas, would be ripping down the wall. He would tie up his animals.
That may be, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that still, in this case, maybe that's why you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. But the point is, we might have thought since the wall is soon going to be torn down, maybe he should be potter even b'dinei shamayim. Nami lo v'chayav kamash malon. Therefore, Rabbi Shor ben Levi has to tell us it's not so, and he is chayav b'dinei shamayim. Next, the second one, Akuif of Kamasa Shachaveira Nami, when it comes to when he bent down somebody else's standing grain in the face of a fire. Also, Maud Tema, you could argue, we could say Lema, he could say, Mi Havi Yadina Da'asya Ruach Shaina Matsuya. How could I have known that a Ruach Shaina Matsuya is going to come over Dinah Shamayim Nami Le Chayev, and he shouldn't be Chayev B'dinah Shamayim either? Kamash Mulan, and therefore Rabbi Shor ben Levi is telling us that in fact he is chayav.
What's the case?
The case is we said that you had there was a fire raging nearby, and now like this, if the grain had been left standing normally, there would be a break of a few feet between the fire and the grain, and therefore it wouldn't spread unless there was a ruach shein metzuya. So now he bent down the grain. Even with a ruach metzuya, we're saying even with a ruach metzuya, the fire wouldn't have jumped that gap. But all of a sudden, there came by a Ruach She'ena Metzuya and set it on fire. So you have, in other words, it took two things. It took the bending down of the grain, which brought it a few feet closer to the fire, and that there was a Ruach She'ena Metzuya. So now he could argue, I didn't know that I did the one part, the bending down the grain, but without the Ruach She'ena Metzuya, it wouldn't have spread. I didn't know there was going to be a Ruach She'ena Metzuya. Nevertheless, we're still being Mechayev and Medina Shamayim, because without his bending it down, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, the Gemara says, what about Ulur of Ashi Dama Nami Tomun Itmar? According to Rav Ashi, who explained the case differently, he said the case was that he covered the grain with blankets or something, and therefore he made it Tomun, and therefore he made that the one who set the fire was going to be Potter, because Tomun, you're Potter with a fire.
You know, but it goes on fire? Or
not? No, that's the point. In other words, so he covered it with a blanket. The result is that the grain is going to get burnt anyhow. All he accomplished was the grain is all he accomplished is now he pattered the one who set the fire, that now the one who set the fire is not going to have to pay for that grain because it's tum. So again, according to Rav Ashi, also you could argue Maud Tema, but you could think that he could argue Ano Kasuya Kasise. Look, I covered it. Ano Kasuya Kasise Nialoch. I covered it for you. I didn't know. I figured that this will make it that it'll slow down the fire. So I was actually doing it for your benefit in order that if the fire does catch on to it, it won't burn it as fast. So therefore, B'dinah Shemayim, Namigo L'chayev, therefore we shouldn't be chayev. B'dinah Shemayim, Kamash Malon, and therefore we're saying that he is. Tosfos says, I mean, come on, we're talking about Dinah Shemayim. Hashem knows the truth, why he put the blanket over there, whether to be a nice guy and help stop the fire, or whether to cover it and prevent the guy from collecting for his nezek. So why do we even have to talk about whether he can use that excuse or not? Tosfos says, because there could be both, really. There could be, he did cover it. He truly did mean to try to save the other guy's grain. Nevertheless, he should take into consideration that he's doing it, that he shouldn't be doing it in a way that, on the other hand, could backfire and make it that the guy is even worse off because now it's Tomun and he can't collect for his damages from the guy who set the fire. So it could be both. In other words, he can truly say, even to Shemayim, he can say, I was intending to cover it in order to save it. Nevertheless, the Beis Din Shemayim would tell him, the fact of the matter is, you should have done it in a different way rather than like this, where you ended up making it worse for him. Okay, so that would be the chiddush according to Ashi's understanding of that case. Next, as far as the case where the guy hires the false witnesses, what's the chiddush that he's chayv din shemayim? Ma'ur detema. You would think, you could say, lema, after all, he can argue back, divra adab, divra atama, divra mishayman. After all, since we're ancient, after dvar aveira, when I told the guy, even I paid the guy money to testify falsely, how was I supposed to know that they're going to listen to me? I figured they're going to listen to Hashem, who says you're not allowed to testify falsely. So therefore, v'dinei shemayim nami lo l'chayev. So you shouldn't be chayev even v'dinei shemayim. Kamash malon. Therefore, Rabbi Shor ben Levi is telling us not so. Again, according to Tosfos, if he just told them verbally to do it, then he might in fact be potter. Other Rishonim disagree. And again, you do have the point that maybe even in the case where he's chayev v'dinei shemayim, maybe even he's obligated to pay for the damage that was caused by it, and if not, he's going to be even possible as a result of that. That the Meiri brings that point, because after all, he did cause a gezel over here. He would be possible in the future for unless he pays back because he committed a gezela indirectly by telling the guys to testify falsely. And the fourth case, Vayadeya Edus Lachaveda Ve'eni Meid Lainami. In the fourth case, where he says where he knows Edus and doesn't testify for the other guy. Mahu de tema, you would have thought, without Rabbi Shor ben Levi telling you, he could say, Mi yema de ki haba asina masahidna le. Who says that if I came to what's your point? You're telling me that I should have come for you because I'm one aid and I would have testified that Shimon owes you money and therefore Shimon would have had to swear. But even if I But after all, Shimon has the choice whether to swear. So who says that he have a sinema sahidnale? Who says that if I had come to that if I had come to Beis Din and testified for him, have a moida, he would have agreed. Doma have a mishtaba l'shikra. Maybe he would have sworn falsely and he would have anyway been potter. So anyway, you Reuven are not necessarily going to have gotten money out of Shimon as a result of me. Or v'dinei shemayim nami lo l'chayev. So maybe you shouldn't be mechayev this aid v'dinei shemayim either. Kamash malon, and therefore Rabbi Shor ben Levi tells us no excuses like that. The fact is, you should have come and done your part, and it would have been up to Shimon what he does. But that's already out of your control. Okay. So again, the point is, it's not that there are only four cases where Potter B'din Onim, Chai B'din Shemayim, the Gemara has found nine cases altogether, and there may be even more, but Rabbi Shor ben Levi is saying there's a chiddush in these four that you would have otherwise thought that Potter even B'din Shemayim, and therefore he's telling you no, the person is Chai B'din Shemayim for those four. The other five, that he's Chai B'din Shemayim, there's no chiddush in it. Tosfos says, actually, even the Samamavis one, even the Samamavis one, there is a slight chiddush that even Samamavis of a kind that an animal wouldn't normally eat. Nevertheless, he's chayv din shemayim. Still, Tosfos says maybe it's not such a chiddush. Maybe because, like you were saying, Yali, that an animal will eat whatever is put in front of it. Maybe whatever. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Next, we said in the Mishnah nifritz balayla. We said if the wall of the pen broke open or fell down at night, or if robbers broke it open and the animal went out and caused damage, then we said the owner is potter because he guarded it and it's not his fault. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabba, Vohusha Chosra. When do we say that he's potter when the wall fell down at night? Is if the animal dug under the wall and that's why it fell. So then it's a real oinus. If the animal hadn't dug under the wall, then nothing would have happened. The animal would have still been there in the morning. So therefore, it's a complete oinus that it dug under the wall. So the Gemara says, "Ava lo chosra mai." So what are you telling me? If it didn't dig and the wall fell down for some other reason, what chayev? Then you would be saying he's chayev hechidami. What's the scenario? Ilema b'kosel body. If you're talking about that, it was a strong wall. Even if the animal didn't dig, how can he be mechayev him for it falling down? What could he have done? He put up a strong wall, and it's not his fault that something else happened, an earthquake or something happened, and knocked it down. So you're talking about it's a weak wall where it wouldn't have stood very long anyway. Well, ki chosra my potter. Why would Rabbah be saying that he's potter if the animal dug its way out and then knocked down the wall? Isn't this an example where he started with pshia because he started by putting the animal inside weak walls where it's not going to stand very long anyway? And in the end, it's an onus because the wall fell down, not so much because of its weakness, but because the animal undermined it. And so that's a case of tchilas of pshia v'sefer bonus, which we touched on in the previous parak as far as bur. Now we have a machlokas about that in Bava Metzia. Hanichal man da'amat tchilas of pshia v'sefer bonus potter. That works out nicely according to the opinion that says there in Bava Metzia and Hamafgid that in such a case a person is potter. Then Rabbah can be saying that. So now Rabbah can be saying if the animal dug under the wall and therefore undermined it, then that's when the Mishnah is saying he's potter, because even though it was tchilas of pshia, it was sofer bonus. But if he didn't dig under, so then the whole thing was pshia. The wall fell down by itself. Then you can be mechayev. So that works according to that opinion. What about according to the opinion that says that in such a case he's chayev anyhow? Then why is there a difference whether the animal undermined the wall? No, we have to understand that the Mishnah was not talking about a weak wall like we just said. The Mishnah is in fact talking about a strong wall in the first place. And yes, even if the animal did not dig underneath it, nevertheless he's potter, because either way it's an onus. It was a strong wall. He couldn't have expected that anything that would happen would make it fall down. So v'chi itmar, the Rabbah as sefer itmar. Rather, Rabbah's statement was said regarding the sefer. So like this, we quoted it as far as the ratio, nifritz of alayla, but now the Gemara is saying no, actually Rabbah's statement refers to the sefer. Where the Mishnah had said, hinicha b'chama, if the owner of the animal left it in the sun, so he left it in an area which is not shaded, he gave it to a cheresh shoteh v'katan to watch the yotzav izika, and it went out and damaged, chayev, then he's chayev. On this, Rabbah is saying, Omer Rabbah v'afilu chosra. So now Rabbah is mentioning over here the point of digging, but he's not saying, like he said before, v'husha chosra, only when it dug, he's saying afilu chosra. In these cases, even if it dug its way out, you're still going to be mechayev. Because lo miboya heicha b'lai chosra, needless to say, where it didn't dig, and it went out to call up a pshiyahu, and it went out. Then for sure it's a pshia because he left it in the sun, and therefore the animal was uncomfortable. So we can expect as soon as possible it's going to open the door and leave. So then in that case we can be mechayev him. Ela to call up a pshiyahu, the whole thing is pshia. Ela filo chosra nami. Even if it dug its way out, even if it undermined the wall, and because of that the wall collapsed and it fell out. Ma'u detema havile tchilas of a pshia v'sefer bonus. So you would think that it's an example where the beginning is pshia because he left it in the sun, but you could argue the end is onus because the wall fell down by circumstances beyond his control. No, kamash malon to call the pshia. No, the Gemara is the Mishnah is telling us, or Rabbah is telling us rather with his word v'afilu chosra, that in that case it's all considered pshia. Because why'd you leave it out in the sun? My time, we tell him, that you knew perfectly well, once you left the animal out in the sun and it's uncomfortable, any strategies, any tactics that it can use, tactica, or actually translates as tachbulos, which means like efforts or strategies or whatever. So anything that it can do, avda, it's going to do v'nafka in order to get out of there. So therefore, even the fact that the animal dug under the wall, and because of that, the wall collapsed and therefore it got out, that's not reason to patu you, because to begin with, not only the beginning was a pshia, but even the end was a pshia, because you can expect that sort of thing is going to happen. So therefore, even according to the opinion, tchilasa b'pshia v'sofer ba'onus potter, in this case, he would be chayev. So Tosfos points out, on the face of it, you could argue there's a case where it still is an onus. The fact is that let's say, for example, you put up really, really strong walls. There's no possible way of the animal getting out. The only possible way it could get out with digging, and therefore the chiddush is nevertheless you put it in a position where inevitably it's going to dig, and therefore you chayev. So that could be another scenario as well. Whatever, that's what the Mishnah means, and that's what Rabbah means when he says, when he talks about chosra, is talking about a case like that.
It gets so frustrated
that it'll just do anything, even digging under a wall to knock it down if necessary in order to get out of there. Next, we said in the Mishnah, we said if robbers took out the animal, listim chayavin, then the robbers are chayav for the nezakin of the animal. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Kibin da'apkua, once the robbers took it out of there, kaima lo b'rashusayhu, l'chomili, isn't it now in their rashus for all purposes? Rashi makes the point. You have meshicha, which is a kinyan. You have shinu rashus, which is now it went from his rashus into theirs. So therefore, they should be considered to be koine.
It's from the reins.
And so right, because they were Moshe, whether holding the reins, whether they yelled at it and it started running, whatever. The Rosh actually makes the point that strictly speaking, I mean, you can't necessarily say that they're really fully koine with that. Meshicha requires, we touched on earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara discusses it in much greater detail in Baba Basra, that when Meshicha is done, not in the presence of the owner, he has to tell him, Leich Meshicha Pni, he has to tell him, go do Meshicha. Here, obviously, they're not doing it when the owner is around. So therefore, the Meshicha is not truly acquiring it for them in the sense that later on, when we catch them or when they do tshuva, then they have to return the animal itself. They can't say, well, we get to keep the animal and just return the value of it or something. We're going to talk about later in the Masechta in great detail when the ganav actually acquires what he stole and only has to pay back the value versus when he has to pay back the thing itself. We're going to talk about in the 9th and 10th parakim of our Masechta. Anyway, but here the Rosh points out, the fact is, Meshicha is a type of kinyan. So even though maybe over here it's not having the full effect to acquire it for them, nevertheless, at least it should be that now it's considered in their Rishus and their Chayav for its Nezakin. So it's Pshita, so it's very obvious. Why does the Mishnah have to mention that point?
They should be Chayav, right,
that they're Chayav for the damages that the animal does. So the Gemara says, Loit Sricha Dekomu Lo Ba'apa. Yes, but the Chiddush of the Mishnah is they didn't even actually do Meshicha. They just stood in front of it. They surrounded it from every direction. And the only way it could go now was to go and eat in somebody else's field. And the Chiddush is, therefore, that they're Chayev, Ki Hodo Amar Rabba Bar Masna, Amar Rab. As Rabba says in the name of Rab Masna, in the name of Rab, Hamamid Behemas Kaveira or Komas Kaveira, when a person makes somebody else's animal stand by somebody else's standing grain, and the animal goes and starts eating from that grain, Chayev, then he's Chayev to pay for the damages. So the Gemara asks Mamid. Now, on the face of it, the word Mamid suggests that he actually takes the animal and holds onto it and brings it over there. So Pshita, of course he's Chayev. Loit Sricha Dekom Lo Ba'apa. So again, we're talking about that he stood around it, and anytime it wants to go in a different direction, he gets in its way. So therefore, it winds up going and eating from the field. The Chiddush is that even in that case, he's Chayev. So the same way over here, the listim, we're not saying they actually took the animal out of the pen and did meshicha with it. We're just talking about that they surrounded it and they made it. No matter where it's going to go, the only way it can go is the direction that they're leading it to the other person's field. Therefore, we can be mechayev them for that, even though they didn't do an actual meshicha. So Tosfos discusses that now there are a few different ways of understanding what the chiyuv would be of this mamid behemas chaver. Tosfos says we're talking about shein v'regel, so therefore the implication is that it would have the usual rules of shein v'regel. For example, if it was in Rosh Hashanah, it would be potter, as we've learned throughout the Masechta. On the other hand, Tosfos says you could have thought to say that it's considered like ash, that it's considered like fire, the same way as if you put a fire on somebody else's thing and you chayev for it getting burnt. You could say that it's that, but Tosfos says that no, that actually it's not. And with that said, there are other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos on that and say that actually it would be, maybe it would be Eish, or maybe it would be the Nezakin of Adam, because after all, they're the ones who caused indirectly that the animal is going to go and eat. And Adam, of course, there's no difference between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Anyway, so that's one way of explaining the Mishnah, is we're not talking about where the listim actually took it out. Then for sure they're chayev because they did mashiach on it, but rather we're talking about where they indirectly caused it to go out by standing around it, and therefore whenever it wants to go someplace, they're in its way, and therefore it winds up going to the field. However, the Gemara says, "Amalei Abaya l'Rav Yosef." Abaya says to Rav Yosef, "Hikisha amratlan, you explain to us that Rav's case of Hamamid Behemas Chavera, Alkomas Chavera, is not just talking about where they're standing it around, where they're standing around it. We're talking about where he hit it with a stick, and therefore that made it go and eat for the and eat the other guy's grain. The point is, in other words, that's considered Mashiach. The listim nami dehikishua. So in the case of a listim of our Mishnah, also it doesn't necessarily have to be that they're just standing around it. It would be that if they hit it with a stick. And the point is, the chiddush of the Mishnah is you should realize that's considered mashicha. You shouldn't think that mashicha is maybe only pulling the animal. It includes causing the animal to move in any way. In this case, by hitting it with a stick, and therefore it runs along. Tosfos adds that what we mean is they did that in order to steal it. So it's not so poshut. It's easy to understand then that we would have thought that that's not considered mashicha, and therefore the chiddush is that it is. The chiddush is that it is considered mashicha. No, the different rishonim discussed. Do we mean over here in the end? Is the Gemara saying over here that? Do we mean over here that in the end that the Mishnah can be talking about either case, either where they stood around it or where they hit it? Or do we mean that Davka was saying that Abaya is saying that Davka, the Mishnah, is talking about only where they hit it, but if they stood around it, then they would be Potter, Medina Adam, because they didn't directly cause the hazard. By hitting it, it causes it to go in a certain direction, so therefore that we're saying that will be considered mashicha, and that mashicha, even though again they're not necessarily koina the goof of the animal to the extent where now they can keep it and repay the value, nevertheless it's considered theirs to the extent they're like a shomer, for example, and therefore they're chayev and nizak. So the Ravid on the Rambam learns that he said that they'd be chayev either way. If they hit it or if they stand around it, the Ravid learns they'd be chayev. The Magid Mishnah discusses over there on the Rambam and says that it comes out based on the Maskana of the Gemara. If they only stood around it, they would be potter. Only if they actually hit it would they be chayev. Because then they're directing it to a certain place, yeah. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Mosra L'Roya, we said another case was where a person gave the animal to a shepherd to watch. So we said, Nichnas Roya Tach, Nichnas Aroya, Nichnas Aroya Chola. So we said the shepherd takes over the responsibility, and now if the animal causes Nezek, then the shepherd is Chai. So we said, the Mishnah had said, Nichnas Aroya Tach Tov, because the shepherd comes instead of him. So Amri, so they asked him, the Yeshiva, Tach Tov Deman, who do we mean? The shepherd is instead of who? Ilema Tacht of the Baal Behima, do we mean that he takes over from the owner of the animal, that now, until now, the owner was chayev to watch it, and now the shepherd is? Well, we don't need the Mishnah to tell us. Tanena Chada Zimna. We learned that already at the end of the fourth parak. Mosra the Shemachinim al Shoel the Nosisacho the Seicher, call them Nichnus Atach Zabailim. Any one of the four Shemim take over the Shemira from the owner. So the Mishnah didn't have to tell us that. Ela Tacht of the Shem. No, what we mean is tachtav, meaning that the shomer himself gave it over to a shepherd, and we're saying the shepherd takes over the responsibility from the shomer. So what does that mean? The shomer kama iftar l'gamri. Evidently, what that means is the first shomer is going to be completely potter. So in other words, if the animal causes damage, then the shomer is completely out of the picture. The owner will go and do a din torah against the shepherd. You didn't watch the animal, therefore it caused damage, and therefore you're going to have to pay. Achronim talk about the Marshal talks about in Yamshel Shloima that Rashi apparently is understanding. We're not so much talking about the damage the animal causes. We're talking about the responsibility for the animal itself. So in other words, we're not talking about that that the animal went and ate in somebody else's field, and that somebody else is taking the owner to Beistin, and the Beistin says, don't bother me, go bother the Roya. But rather, we're talking about the animal itself got injured or lost or whatever, and the owner, so like this, the owner normally would have gone to the Shomer and say, why didn't you take care of my animal? And instead, the Shomer can say, I gave it over to somebody else, go talk with him. On the other hand, the Pnei Yeshua says that we could be talking about Nezek over here as well. He says the scenario would be the owner paid for the Nezek, and now he's entitled to go and sue the Shomer to get reimbursed for what he paid, and therefore the question is he going to the original Shomer or is he going to the Shepherd? The problem with that is, the problem is, does this come out from this, a contradiction to Rava, where Rava says, again in Hamafkid, that if one Shomer gives over to another, then the first Shomer is Chayev. The Gemara discusses it in Hamafkid in some detail. The Gemara ends up saying Rava's reason behind why he's Chayev is because he can say, I trust you with a Shavua. You're a Shomer Chinam, let's say. So anything that happens with the animal, you would have been able to swear and based in, and you'd be Potter. Now, let's say even you gave it over to a Shema Sacher, you could argue you've upgraded the Shemira. Nevertheless, I don't trust the other guy with a Shavua, and therefore you had no right to give it over to him and cause that there might be a case where there's a Shavua. So therefore, so Rava says that across the board, Shema Shemosel or Shema Chayim. So how does that fit with our if we're understanding? So again, if we're saying that our Mishnah is talking about Tachtav, that the shepherd got it from the owner and the owner is Potter, then there's no Chiddush. We learned that already. And if we mean that the owner gave it to a Shomer and the Shomer gave it to a shepherd, according to Rava, why should he be Potter? Omalach Rava. So the answer is, Rava will answer you, my Mosri L'Roya. What does the Mishnah mean? That he gave it over to a shepherd means the Barzilei. Means that the shepherd himself gave it over to his Barzilei, meaning it actually says his Talmud. The Oruch has a Girsa actually Karzilei, and it turns out, Oruch HaShalim mentions there are languages from that part of the world, Syriac and whatever, where the word Karzilei means a shepherd. So here what it means is like an apprentice shepherd. So you have the main shepherd, and then you have apprentices, you have Talmidim who work under him. So the big shepherd, it's a normal thing when you give animals to a big shepherd that he's going to distribute them out to his Talmidim to take care of them in individual flocks. So it's normal for a shepherd to give over the animals to his Talmud. So therefore, even Rava would agree that's not a problem of Shomer Shemosel Shomer. In a similar vein, the Gemara mentions that if you give something to a person to watch, Al Das Ishto Yabonov, it includes automatically that his wife or his children can take over the Shemira. So the same way over here, it's a normal thing. You give an animal to the big shepherd, it's normal to understand that he's going to in turn delegate it to lesser shepherds who work underneath him.
Just a Talmud,
in other words. That's what Rashi is saying. That means his Talmud who's learning the ropes of how to do this.
But the responsibility gets passed over.
So that's the responsibility that gets passed over. So now, yeah. So the Gemara says, so what are we saying? Ava la'acher loy. So the implication is that if the implication is if the shepherd had give it to somebody else who is not his Talmud, Loi, then he wouldn't be Potter. Lema Messiah Le Rava. In that case, maybe our Mishnah supports Rava. Drama Rava Shomer Shemosel Shomer Chayim. If now we're saying that the whole case of our Mishnah Nichnas Aroya Tachdim is Davke in the case where the shepherd gives it over to his Talmud, the shepherd, and otherwise though if the shepherd gave it over Stam to somebody else, it would be Chayim. Then that supports Rava's point. Like Moses says, though, not necessarily. Amri, the answer, loy, not necessarily can you prove Rava's point from our Mishnah. Doma ucha de milsa katani, because you could say the Mishnah is just talking about the normal scenario where a shepherd usually gives the animals that are under his care to a lesser shepherd, to a Talmud of his to take care of, but maybe the same din would apply even if he gave it to a different person who's not his Talmud. Maybe he would be Potter. The Mishnah is not necessarily addressing that detail. The Mishnah is just giving a typical example, but not necessarily does that. According to Rava, it's true, only if he gave it to his Talmud would he be Potter, but maybe the Mishnah is implying that even if he gave it to somebody else, he'd also be Potter, but the Mishnah is just talking about the typical, usual case. Okay. Ashokayach, everyone.